You know, when you have a guest in your house, right, and they tell you, oh, it's so nice. So you say, I'll know if it was nice if you come back, right? My second time says, yes. Okay. Eila advarim asher dibe Moshe al kol Yisrael ve'eva hayarden ba'midbar ba'arova. These are the words Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to all the Eden. Eva hayarden, other side of Yarden, ba'midbar in the desert, ba'arova, mo'ol suf, ben paran, ben teufel. Pashas, it's places that Moshe Rabbeinu is listing off. Ve'lovon v'chatzeroyis v'dizahov. So I saw the Ma'or v'shemesh. Yes. Number one is, why doesn't the pasuk start the way it always starts? Vayidaber Moshe al bnei Yisrael. Period. What's Eila hadvarim asher dibe Moshe al kol Yisrael? Talk the way you talk all the time. Vayidaber Moshe al bnei Yisrael. Moshe talked to the Yidden. The following. And go on. Secondly, what's Eila hadvarim? We have a rule, Rashi mentions it a few times, that sometimes it says Eila and sometimes it says Ve'Eila. Nafkamina is when it says Eila Poisil Esor Rishonim. It's breaking off from the previous. And Ve'Eila means we're attaching Moshe Bala Rishonim. So he asks, why does it say Eila HaDavarim? Well, Moshe's continuing. He was a leader for 38 years, whatever it was over there, and he's continuing to be the leader. So it should say Ve'Eila HaDavarim. That's the Mor V'Shemesh's Kasha. So before I get to his teretz, I want to tell you a story. I read a Moritic story. There was this shul in Haifa, large shul. A lot of people came, Shabbos, Yontif, packed shul. And right next to the shul was a clothing store, which was owned by a Hafraid. And he kept it open on Shabbos and Yontif, he didn't care. And big store, it was packed. People came there, Shabbos and Yontif. And the rav of the shul, it bothered him tremendously. Here he has a shul right next door. Yidden are coming to daven. And that's what's going on next door. A clothing store. Yidden buying on Shabbos. The Yontif, it disturbs him a lot. So he goes to the owner of the store. And he tells him, maybe close the store. No, I'm not closing the store. I'm not interested. Don't bother me. Leave me alone. He tries again. The guy was furious. He didn't want to hear of it. Okay? Came the next Shabbos. Try it again, goes over to the guy, says, please, I beg you, close the store. It's not nice. It's not for shop. It's not nice for the shul. He didn't want to hear it. He was going crazy. It bothered the rov a lot. So he went. There was a Rebbe in Haifa at the time, the Seret Vizhnitzer Rebbe. Rav Baruch Hager was the Rebbe at the time. So the rov of the shul comes to the Rebbe and says, Rebbe, I have a problem. He tells him over the problem. I have this store, and the guy wants to be open on Shabbos. What should I do? So the Rebbe tells the Rav, do you love him? So the love him? He doesn't listen to me. I tell him to close on Shabbos. He gives me a hard time. How should I love him? So he says, you know something? He says, maybe he keeps his store open on Shabbos because he doesn't feel your love. Maybe if you loved him and he would feel your love, maybe he would close on Shabbos. So this Rav says, how do I love him? Go tell him you love him. So that's what he did. He came to first Shabbos. It's a chiddush that the Rav did that. With the Rebbe Gezuk. So he comes to first Shabbos, and he comes to the store, and he's ready to tell the guy, and the guy starts screaming at him, get out, get out. So he says, no. I didn't mean you. I'm sorry. So he does. So he tells him. So he says, no, I didn't come to tell you. I came to tell you that I love you. So the guy says, are you out of your mind? You love me? Why would you love me? He says, what do you mean? We're brothers. We're both bonim atem l'ashem alekechem. Of course I love you. You're my brother. And he hugs him. The guy couldn't believe it. That's okay. Thank you very much. And he leaves. Comes the next Shabbos, does it again. Comes in, Shabbos, I love you. And he gives him a hug. For 6 months, he did the same thing. Every Shabbos, he went in to tell him, I love you, for 6 months straight. After 6 months, the store was closed for Shabbos. Zok demor v'shemesh, a beautiful pshat. Moshe Rabbeinu, all the years, if you're looking throughout the Chumash, whenever Moshe Rabbeinu gave Musa to Klal Yisrael, it says, Vayiktsoif Moshe. Moshe was angry at Elazar v'Itamar for what they did, Nadav and Avihu, with the Sar, Vesar, Achatz, Dorash Moshe. Vayiktsoif Moshe al Pekudei Hachayil. He was angry at the soldiers, Hachayisim kol Nekeva. What is this? What are you doing? Mamrim Hem Yisam, by the name Mariva, Moshe Rabbeinu gets mad, bothers me, gets angry at them. Klal Yisrael didn't feel the love, Zokdemar Veshemesh. It's a different type of Musa till now. Moshe Rabbeinu tells himself, this is my last chance. Somach Lamisa, I have to change my tactic. I want them to feel my love. What do you think? So the pasuk, Eila hadvorm. Don't say Vayidaber Moshe. No. This is not the Vayidaber Moshe that we had till now. Poisel is harishonim. Eila hadvorm. These are the words carefully measured out. Asher diber Moshe al kol Yisrael. So if you look in the psukim now, you can really see it. You can really feel it. Like Rashi says, start. I'll give you two examples. It says, Bamidbar, Ba'arova, Mosuf, Bein Parnu, Bein Teufel. And Rashi says right away, there's no such a place. There's no place Teufel, there's no place Lavan. What's this Chatzei Roi? What's going on over here? Well, Zok Rashi. Sosam es hadvorim, he said it very subtly, very carefully. Ve'hezkiram beremez. And he did it in a hinted, veiled. He was very veiled. He did it in a hidden way. He wanted the Yidden to realize, I honored you. I feel your covet. I admired you. I understand how you feel. And I'm going to tell it to you, Bederach Remes. I heard Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro said over that his father, Mordechai Shapiro, came to Eretz Yisrael in 1951. And he came to see the Chazon Ish. Now, Rabbi Mordechai Shapiro was a cousin of Rabbi Shlomke Bergman. Rabbi Shlomke Bergman was the Eidim by the Stipla. So, Rabbi Mordechai Shapiro goes together with Rabbi Shlomke Bergman, and they go to visit the Chazon Ish. Shabbos afternoon, they come to visit the Chazon Ish. So you picture the scene. The Chazon Ish is sitting at the head of the table, Rabbi Shlomke on one side, and Rabbi Mordechai Shapiro on the other side. Right? And they're talking Shabbos afternoon, schmoozing. All of a sudden, the Chazon Ish turns to Rabbi Shlomke and he says, Was it the Zeit? What time is it? So Mordechai Shapiro was a smart man and he thought to himself, I don't understand. Why is the Chazon Ish asking Rabbi Shlomke what time it is? The Chazon Ish didn't use the Erev, he didn't hold of the Erev. Memela Rabbi Shlomke doesn't have a watch. So why is he asking him what time it is? He looks down on his arm and he realizes he's wearing a watch. So he takes off his watch and he gives it to the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish says, Ramotche, Ramotche. Good. Yetz habich hamashkin. Yetz veisich has the vetzerikim. I'm worried, Dick. I have a mashke now. I realize you're going to come back. So when Mordechai Shapiro, Ephraim says about his father, when he used to say over the story, he said he had tears in his eyes. And he would say, the pikkis of the Chazon Ish. Can you imagine if he would have told him off? I wouldn't come back. I should come back? You tell me off like that? He came back, he says, he came back and saw the Chazon Ish 100 times. That's what Ephraim Shapiro said. 100 times he went back to see the Chazon Ish. Because he did it b'derech remes. If you do it b'derech remes, I know you love me. I know you care for me. I'll come back. I'm not going nowhere. One more thing on that pasuk. If you look in the psukim, in that pasuk, it says, Bamidbar, Ba'arava, Melsuf, Bein Paran uvein Teufel, v'lavon v'chatzerayis v'dizahav. They're all a bunch of places, or a remez to different chatoyim. But two of them, if you notice, it says Bein Paran uvein Teufel. Why? It should say Bamidbar, Ba'arava, Mosul, Paron, Teufel, Lavan, Chatzeres. What's the bane? What's the two banes over there? So I saw the Mishka Shemin from Rabbi Chaim Kaufman. It says a very nice pshat, beautiful word. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu again was hinting to them an Aveira. He did it in such a pikristic way. He was telling them like this. The Mefarshim say, right, Rashi brings down, Paron is referring to the Chet HaMeraglim. And Teufel is referring to when they complain about the Mon. Those were the two Aveiras. So Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, you sent the Meraglim. You didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't you want to go into Eretz Yisrael? So some Mefarshim explain, because they wanted to live a life of Ruchnius. In the Midbar, their Gashmius was taken care of. They had food, they had water, they had everything, right? Simlos Cholibol Samei Alecha. They had clothing, shoes. Everything was perfect. They had a fantastic life. So they could sit and learn. They could be Dovak Bashem in the Midbar. They were worried, if they go into Eretz Yisrael, oh, we're going to be busy with the Kerem, we're going to be busy with the fields, we're going to be busy with the Gashis. We won't be able to have so much Ruchnius. They meant it well. They were really thinking about their Ruchnius, an honest feeling they had. They didn't want to go in. They wanted to stay here. It's a koilo life. Why should I go to business? I'm a chaya here. Okay, Zach Moshe Rabbeinu. But then what happened a little later? What happened by the Mon? All of a sudden you say, oh, Zecharnu es Hadaga. I remember those watermelons. I remember those cucumbers. I'm not so happy with this Mon. I like the fish. I like all the onions. What happened to the Ruchnius? I thought you are taking care of your Ruchnius. Yeah, the Gash you're taking care of, you're involved in Ruchnius. But all of a sudden now, you're contradicting yourself. Here on one hand, you want only Ruchnius, right? You want to stay in the Midbar because you want only Ruchnius. But then when it comes to the Mon, which is Kula Ruchni, all of a sudden you start asking for Gashmius. You're living a contradicting life. There's something wrong with the way you're living. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was conveying to Klal Yisrael, that they should chop on their own. There was this balas. There was this woman. She was a balas tshuva, and she was by a seminary. And she was a married woman. She went to this seminary, which was geared for Bali Tshuva. And one day she goes over to the Menahelis of the seminary and she says, I need to take a leave of absence. I have to go away for a while. So what's wrong? What's wrong? So she says, well, you see, I became pregnant and I need to terminate my pregnancy. So the Menahelis says, why do you want to do that? So she says, because I want to pursue a career, and it'll be a hindrance for my career. I'd be busy with a newborn. I can't do this. I need to have an abortion. So Menahelis is smart. So she says, you know, it's a procedure. It's a surgery. I would recommend that you get a bracha from an Odom Godol. You understand? And before you take such a surgery. It's a serious thing. Get a blessing from a holy man. So the woman said, that's not a bad idea. It is. So they go to Rav Shlomo Zalman. Can you imagine? So this woman comes into Rav Shlomo Zalman. And she says, Rav Shlomo Zalman, I need a bracha. If a what? I'm going to surgery. Oh, what kind of surgery? An abortion. I need to terminate the baby. Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't flinch. Shlomo Zalman says, and why are you terminating your pregnancy? Well, I need to pursue a career, and it's going to bother me. I don't have time for this. What career are you pursuing? I want to be a doctor. Why do you want to be a doctor? So the lady said, what do you mean, a doctor? You save lives. What you could do, a doctor, to save lives. So Shlomo Zalman, why do you want to save lives? But the lady thought that the lady's losing it. There's something wrong. Rabbi, you know what saving lives are? You know what life is? Sakab Shlomo Zalman didn't really have to say anything. All of a sudden she chapped. Saving lives? So I'm terminating a life to to save a life? Isn't that a little bit contradictory? So she backed off and she says, I got the message. All that Shlomo Zalman had to do was show her, is it contradicting? There's something going on in your life. So Moshe Rabbeinu tekla Yisrael, bein paron ubein teifel. There's something going on here. On paron, you're showing one belief that you have, and then when it comes to teifel, you're showing something else. Let me go a little weiter. It says in Pasuk, Perik Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis, Eicha esol levadi, Tarchachem, Masa'achem, V'rivchem. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, how can I carry along your troubles, Masa'achem, your burdens, V'rivchem, and your quarrels? Look at Rashi. Maybe take a Rashi. So Rashi, Tarchachem, Melamed, Shehoyu, Yisrael, Tarchonim. They were troublesome people. That's what it says. Fine. Masa'achem, Zagrashi, Melamed, Shehoyu, Apikursim. Next one, the rivchem, quarrels, melamed shehoyu roignim. They were quarrelsome, they made fights, they were, you know, they, just a quarrel. So I understand two of them. Tarchachem, tarchonim, it matches, right? Rivchem, melamed shehoyu roignim, vateirognu ba'ohalechem. You quarrel, I got that. But masachem, your burdens, melamed shehoyu apikursim? What does masachem have to do with apikursim? You have burdens, so what? Become an apikuris because of a burden? So I saw Moed Dikip Pshat. Pshat is that when a person feels like he's carrying a burden, masachem, when you feel like you have a burden, then it's missing a little bit in the emunah b'Hashem. A person would really believe, really, really believe, Al Chayeinu Amesurim Biyodecha, it's all yours. Nothing is a bother. I have nothing to worry about. Then it's not Masa'achem. I don't have a burden. It's not a burden for me. Hashem is taking care of me. Hashleich al Hashem Yehovcha. Throw your load on the Eibishter. V'hu yichal kelecha. But if you say Masa'achem, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, if you feel like it's a burden, melameid, that there's something missing in the emunah b'Hashem. Hoyu apikursim. So maybe take a lotion. A little bit in apikursim is missing something in your belief. From Mechol Ber Weissmandel, famous for saving so many Yidden during the Holocaust. He one time had an opportunity to save 1 million Jews, 1 million Hungarian Jews. And he went to the Zionistic government, he went to the Zionists, and he begged them and he pleaded with them. You have the resources. You have the money. Could you please give me the money so I could save 1 million Hungarian Jews? They refused. No, not. He begged. He pleaded. Absolutely not. And they all perished. He was heartbroken. He couldn't go right. So Rechol Ber went to the Riatz, one of the Lubavitcher Rebbes. He went to the Riatz. And he sat by the Riatz for an hour. And he cried and he cried and he cried. Felt terrible. I had opportunity to save. And these Zionists, they didn't let me do it. He was distraught. He couldn't go by them. So the Riatz turned to him and said, they did it? It was them? It wasn't them. Imagine. It was the Eibishter. So he said, that couldn't be wrong. The Eibishter wanted to save 1 million Jews. Then we would have saved 1 million Jews. The Eibishter didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. It's not you, it's not them. It's Hashem. So don't feel troubled. And he gave him such a chizik. He felt like he's Hashem. He's doing what the Eibishter wants. If it goes, it goes. It doesn't, it doesn't. I don't have to feel troubled. There was once this Yid that married off 7 daughters. And at the 7th Sheva Bracha of the 7th daughter, he gets up at the end, and he says, I want to make a declaration. And he says, Rabbi, say, you should know, I married off 7 daughters to find son-in-laws, all without the help of Hashem. They looked at him like Zapikiris. So he said, let me explain to you. Hashem didn't help me. Hashem did it by himself. No help. It's cool, like Hashem. Well, my sons-in-law, my houses, my this, the funds that I had. Help me? He didn't help me. It was all him. He did it by himself. Kulei Lashem. If it's Kulei Lashem, then it doesn't feel like a burden. No, not even. It says, another pasuk. It says, Perek Aleph, pasuk Lamed Beis. Now, if you go through the pasuk before, Hashem Alekechem, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Musa to Klal Yisrael. Hashem Alekechem, Ha'olich Lefneichem. Hashem is going before you. Hu Yelachem Lechem, He'll take care of you. Ba'midbar Asher Ro'isa, look in the desert. Asher Nesach Hashem Alekecha, Hashem carried you. Kasher Yisa Ish Espenoi, like a man carries his child. V'chol HaDerech. Not a pasuk says, Lamed Beis. Ba'dovar Hazeh, Einchem maminim b'Hashem alikechem. Dr. Rashi, what's the Dover Hazeh? This, what this? What's Moshe Rabbeinu referring to when he says, "Ba'Dover Hazeh, Einchem maminim b'Hashem alikechem"? What is it? So you look at Rashi, Ba'Dover Hazeh, Shehu mavtichachem, Hashem promised you lahaviachem el haaretz, to bring you into Eretz Yisrael. Ein chem aminim, you don't believe in that. Break the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. He brings down the Rashi and he says, where does it say that in the pasuk? Doesn't sound like from the flow of the pasuk. And Rashi comes in with something which doesn't even say. We're not talking about the haftach of going to Eretz Yisrael. That's not what the pasuk is talking about. What's Rashi saying? Memela zot Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. I have another pshat. It's going back on exactly what it says. The pasuk just said, "Ubamidbar Asher Ra'isa." Don't you realize? Moshe tells Klal Yisrael, "You were in a midbar. You were in a desert. David took such good care of you. You survived." Kasher Yisa Ish has been known like a father carries his son. Ubadover Hazeh. After seeing all that, ain't chemamina b'Hashem alikechem. That's what it's referring to. Moshe is telling you, can you see? It's in front of your face. Hashem is so good to you. And you don't believe it? And he brings down the moshel, which Rashi himself brings down in Parshas Beshalach towards the end. A beautiful moshel. Moshel l'mo'ad over daimer. Tell moshel to a father that was carrying his son on his shoulder. And then walking down the street. And the kid said, "Oh, Tati, told me many chafetz. That this is such a nice object. That's such a nice ball over there. Could you get me that ball?" "Oh, the father's so nice. He gives the kid the ball." Goes a little further and the kid says, "Oh, there's an ice cream truck. Yeah, get me an ice cream. Tom chafetz there. Get me that chafetz." "No problem. I'll find the tata." He gives him that chafetz. V'chein shlishis. Another time. Again. Gives him everything he wants. And then what happens? Dr. Marshall. He goes a little further, and he meets a man, and the kid turns to the man and says, "Where's my father? Eifa Abba Shali? Did you see my father?" The father takes the kid, puts him on the floor, bo kelev and noishchay. Comes that kelev and gives him a bite. What? You don't see? So that's a pshat in the pasuk. So the Torah, Moshe is telling Klal Yisrael, if you just open your eyes and you see how much chesed the Eibusha does for us, he has nothing to worry about. U'badover hazeh ein chem aminim b'Hashem alikech. I'll just end with one pshat, which I saw, a beautiful pshat, b'negeya Tisha B'Av. The halacha is on Tisha B'Av, ein she'il ashol. Now I'll say hello, can't say good morning, I feel tzafra tova. You know, say good morning, nothing. No hello, ephes. Somebody comes over to you and says, "Hello, what are you supposed to do?" Supposed to answer, b'sofa, right? If the guy doesn't know the halacha, answer b'sofa rafa. Very quiet, you have to show that it's habilis. So Rabbi Reiser brings down from Rabbi Druk, a moedik kasha. He says, I don't understand, he says. The Beis HaMikdash was Charev. Why? Because of sin as chinam. We were not friendly to each other. So one would think, in order to be mesakein the chet of sin as chinam, we should walk around Tisha B'Av saying, how you doing, my friend? I'm so happy to see you. Give him a hug, give him a kiss. That should be the mitzvah of the day. Walk around saying hello. Good morning. Nice to see you. Geschmack. How's everything? How's the family? You want to be mechaber, but it's chinim. That's what you should do. Why is Allah hafakert? So he says a beautiful pshat. Rabbi Reisen brings out a little thing. He says, he remembers that there was once this doctor that advertised that if a person had a certain speech impediment, this doctor was able to cure you. What was his technique? What did he do? He would tell you not to talk for 2 weeks. Not a word. Efes mamish. Not a word for 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, you'd come back to him. And he would retrain you how to talk. You would like forget how to speak and come back and have to coach you and show you and teach you like a kid how you talk, how you say this word, how you say that word. And the melee would come out different than, because you get so used to the way you speak till now that you needed to pause, delete, you got to start all over again. And that's how it went. So Rav drew a kafla of a fellow. Till now, we said a certain kind of a shalom aleichem. How you doing? You're not really interested in how you doing, but how you doing anyway? It was like a cold shalom aleichem. Not a good morning. Yes, a good morning. It was a different type. Tisha B'Av stopped. You got to start from fresh. So Tisha B'Av, no more shalom aleichem. And think about the day. Think about the churban. Think about what happened. And once you get that in your brain, then tomorrow, tomorrow I start with a new kind of shalom aleichem. A new kind of good morning. A good morning that comes out of love and comes out of feeling for a different. Maybe she should help. We shouldn't have to have Tisha B'Av.
Amen. Shkoyach.
Thank you.